Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Father, for every single man standing. I thank you, God, for every father represented here. Father, some of our fathers have passed on, and some cannot be here today, and some are in faraway places. But Father, you have given us these incredible men to take care of us, to lead us, and to help raise our families. Father, I thank you, God, for every single one of them. I ask you, Heavenly Father, that you'll watch over them, that you'll continue to give them wisdom, that you'll continue to give them the ability and the strength to continue to raise their children and their families the way you've asked us to. Yes. Father, we ask you, God, that you'll watch over them, that you'll keep the devil away from them, and that they will continue to be powerful and mighty men of God for you. Amen. Lord, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father, and we ask all this in the precious and holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day, guys. I mean with all my heart. It's going to be a hard lesson, I'm going to tell you right now. You guys are awesome men of God. You really are. My phone has been buzzing all morning. I've received more than 20 text messages already this morning wishing me happy Father's Day. And my wife sent me one from upstairs. And I read it. I was very encouraged. And on the way to church this morning, my aunt that I went to Nigeria to baptize a few months ago sent me one. But today is also my mother's anniversary as far as her birthday. If she was alive today, she would be 78. And she raised me to be the person I am. Some of us were raised by single mothers. I praise God I was able to convert my father later in life, and now he's passed on also. But my mom was my mom and my dad. And everything you see in me, I learned from her. And she was born June 15th, 1936. And so, I would not be here. You would not be here. If it wasn't for your moms and your dads that poured their lives into you, that raised you up. And yes, they were not perfect. No father is, no mom is. But we have a perfect Father who is in heaven, who loves us and who cares about us deeply. And I honor you, my brothers, this morning for being great men of God and for being awesome husbands to your wives and wonderful fathers to your children. And I know you are not perfect. And I'm not perfect either. But we're striving to live according to the scriptures. We're striving to be men like God says to be in the Bible. And when it's all said and done, that ought to be enough. Last week, a police officer by the name of Kevin Jordan was shot in the back while off duty. And he worked for the Griffin Police for several years. And his son was graduating from high school this week. And earlier this week, I was listening to the news, and it was very touching to see more than 200 police officers from different departments and different counties show up at his son's graduation, just standing in for him. The young man is going to be going to GSU this fall. And I saw that, and I just cried. Then a couple of days ago, President Bush turned 90, and he wanted to jump out of an airplane again. And he did it. Barbara Bush and President Bush's son were waiting for him at the bottom. Give him a big kiss, and he got back into his wheelchair. And I thought, man, ain't no way in the world I'm jumping out of an airplane at 50. let alone at 90. It ain't happening. I'm sorry. But that's what he wanted to do, to celebrate his 90th birthday, and he did it. And I'm very thankful for that. You know, a small boy said, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only that you don't spend so much on the gift. There's a lot of truth to that. I've titled my lesson this morning, Continue. The Greek word is epimeno, E-P-I-M-E-N-O, epimeno. It means to stay at or to stay with something. To abide still. To remain, to persevere in a place. And I don't want all the ladies and all the young people to tune me out and think, well, he's just talking to the fathers. God continues to take care of us. Like Steve Gabriel said this morning, he's our heavenly Father. The Father that is perfect. That thought about us even before this world was created. And yes, a lot of what I'm going to be saying this morning is to our natural and biological fathers and all the fathers in the room. But I don't want you guys to tune me out. Because all you young men, in a few years, you're going to be married and you're going to have kids of your own. And you're going to be fathers. And I pray that you will continue to be the kind of father God is to us when your time comes. A few years from now, none of us will be in this room. But our kids will grow up and have their own children. Those children will grow up and have their own children. Those children will grow up and have their own children. And whether you believe it or not, you can have an incredible impact. Even right now, on the descendants that you are not going to know about years from now. That's what we're going to read just now. And so, I say all that to say, moms, kids, this message is also for you. There are two things God continues to do for us as our Heavenly Father that I want to implore all the brothers in here and all the men and all the fathers to continue to be and to continue to become. And that is, number one, to train and to teach. Train and teach. And then in a few minutes, I'm going to talk about continue to provide and protect. But let's talk about continuing to train and to teach. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. These are the Israelites. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. They're about to enter the promised land. And Moses writes, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your son, and their sons after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And we'll stop there for now. Here is Moses. They're about to enter the promised land. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. And God literally is about to start a new civilization. is giving the fathers another opportunity to get it right. You and I know the story of the guys that came out of Egypt. They came out, they didn't believe they could go into the promised land. As a matter of fact, at some point they said, let's go back to Egypt. God said, you know what, I've had enough of this nonsense. And he allowed them to wander in the desert for 40 years and killed off all the adults. It was their kids that grew up. They are the ones that Moses is talking to right here. And you would think they would listen. He says, first of all, these commands I'm giving you so that you, your sons, and your grandsons may fear the Lord and that you would have a prolonged life. But unfortunately, you and I know the history. They didn't listen. That's why the book of Ezekiel is in the Bible. Because they didn't listen to any of this stuff. As a matter of fact, they messed up and continued to mess up over and over again. But the problem, believe it or not, was with the fathers. We have a fathering crisis in this country and all over this world. Because there are so many absentee fathers. Fathers who are not there. And that's why I salute you as a man of God. That you're there for your children. You're there for your wives. And you're there for your families. Because I know it's not easy. Any person can bring a child into this world. But it takes strength and character and guts to be a father. You say, well, Richard, I didn't have a father that trained me and taught me about God. Guess what? You get to be the first one. Has it ever dawned on you that God wants to change the next 150 years of your descendants by allowing you to become a Christian? That's why you and I are here. It's very important that we see what God is calling us to. And yes, you may not know, and you probably will not know, your descendants. But if you are the man of God that God has called you to be, to teach your family about God, to love God first above everything else, and to love your neighbor as yourself, I promise you, and you're passing that down, it will get passed down to the next generation and so on. Amen. That is our task. That God is calling us to. I remember when I was 11 years old, I was getting ready to go off to high school. Yeah, we start very early. I told you this before. Once you can say dada at 2, they put you in school. And so really by 11, 12, you're ready to start high school. But I'll never forget, getting ready to go off to college. It was a boarding school. And my grandfather, who was a lay Anglican minister, called me in. And he was blind in one eye. He could barely see the other one. He died at 97. I was 11 years old. And he said, and he asked me to kneel down in front of him. And he put his hands on my head. And he prayed for me. And afterwards, he told me how he's been praying for me since I was born. And he told me to listen to my mom, to work hard in school. And he said, I want you to get on your knees every single day. He said, God loves you. God created you for a reason. And yes, you may not, you can't see him, but he's there. So talk to him every day. Whatever it is you need, whatever it is you desire, whatever it is you want him to do for you, just do it every day. And church, that's what I did. And he died when I was 15, 5 years later. He lived with us. You know, where I come from, we don't have nursing homes. When your parents grow old, they move in with you and you take care of them. There are just no nursing homes. There's no such thing as assisted living. It just doesn't exist. My grandfather, even in his 90s, used to discipline me. He said, how did you do that? He stayed in a little room once you entered our apartment. And he would take one of his shoes and throw it to the end of the room. I will call you. Could you get me my stuff? And you walk in, he locks the door behind him. Because now you got no place to be. And he would grab his whip and corner you. Whoop! Whoop! When you did something wrong. I still remember it. But it taught me a lot. And it trained me. And believe it or not, some of those whoopings, you know, it got a lot out of me. I'm going to tell you that right now. But you see, our Heavenly Father continues to train us, continues to teach us. We as earthly fathers, we need to continue to do that with our children. Amen? Amen. It says, impress the commands of God on your children. Make an impression. Talk to them. As you go about your day. It just can't be when they do something wrong that you bring up the Bible and you open it up. When God does something great in your life, you need to tell them what God is doing. When God answers your prayers, you need to tell them what God is doing. Even when you're struggling, you need to open up to your kids and let them know what's going on. Say, you know what? I am talking to them about God. As a matter of fact, you need to pray for me about this. There's nothing wrong with that. Because they know that we are not Superman. Now, you may act like it, but my kids know I'm not Superman. I got my moments. Are you with me? But it's very, very important that we take these commands very, very seriously. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Again, a passage, a verse you know very well. I know the kids love this one. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 4. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Okay? But I'm not going to talk about that part. Because prayerfully, as a man of God, you're not exasperating your children. Okay? You're not needling at them. You're not embittering them. But this is the part I want to focus on. The second part, it says, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Yeah. Amen? That's a serious job. And I dare say it never ends. I know many of us, we have adult children. And I salute you. Because now they're married, they're gone, they're no longer in the house. But guess what? The things that you have taught them, the things that you have said to them, it rings back. It comes back into their memory. They remember. They have not forgotten. And hopefully, prayerfully, they will continue to express to you how thankful they are. Are you with me? You're a great dad. You've done a fantastic job. Don't you ever forget it. Don't let the devil psych you out and tell you how terrible of a father you are. Remember, he's a liar. When he shows up putting those kind of thoughts in your mind, you need to tell him to get lost. Resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect. But you've done a great job. Stop beating yourself up. You know, it's always amazing how, and I know a lot of you would agree with me. You know, there are a lot of things growing up that my mom and my dad would tell me, and I just didn't get it. And I look at them like, They don't know what's going on. I got it going on. With my 16, 17-year-old self. It's like, man, they just don't get it. Now, obviously, life will teach you a lot of lessons. You grow up, you get married, you start having kids of your own. And then you start remembering, oh, now I see. Oh, now I get it. God has sense of humor. Sometimes your kids will do something and act in a certain way that like you used to do. And you stand there going, my goodness. Is that what I used to do? That's God saying, hey, payback. If it's not your kids, it will be your grandkids. I know some of us are grandparents. Grandparents are, you know, I salute you. Grandkids are great. I've not reached that stage yet. But I see you talking about your grandkids and your love for them, and I can see you beaming and glowing, and you know, that's wonderful. But you see, we need to continue to teach and to train. Amen. It never stops. Amen. Even when they're out of the house. My wife was talking to one of the sisters. We had a meeting a couple of weeks ago in Asheville, North Carolina, all the leaders in the southeast of all of our churches. And, you know, Sarah was asking this sister, says, you know, my two girls are, you know, we're now empty nesters. Do you have any advice for me? And she said one thing. She said, stay engaged with them. Yeah. And she was sharing. She was just being open. She said, you know what? When my kids left the house, I didn't stay engaged. And I regret that. Not that she totally left them. But she said, but you got to stay engaged. Even after they're gone, you got to stay engaged. Now, that doesn't mean you continue to run their life. That doesn't mean you continue to tell them what to do. But we need to stay engaged. Amen? The training continues. The teaching continues. It never stops. Now, part of that training is discipline. Again, I know the kids are not fired up right now, me bringing that up. But that's part of the training. God says to discipline our kids. The place where you're going to learn respect for authority is in your home, starting with your mom and dad. Because you're not going to respect outsiders when you grow up and you leave the house if you don't respect your mother and your fathers. It's not going to happen. And you're going to get in some serious trouble. It's very important that as children, that we listen to our parents. Remembering that one day you're going to be a parent yourself. Amen? Amen? Very, very important. Again, our moms and dads taught us how to read and write. They taught us how to clean. They taught us how to fix things. They taught us how to talk to people. They taught us how to cook. They taught us to respect authority. I mean, the list goes on. The list goes on and on. My mother taught me how to treat a lady. And those of us that are moms and fathers, obviously, and we have daughters, we're trying to teach our daughters how to spot players. Absolutely. That's my child, man. I'm not going to let some guy or some worldly person mess with them. They're going to have to go through me first. Brothers, we can't be naive about this. Especially if you have daughters. Again, if you have sons, you need to treat them. Amen. How to treat a lady. That's right. That's right. I have never raised my hand to strike a female, and I will never do it. Amen. Where did I learn it? I learned it from my mother. I still remember the talk. When she looked at me and said, you never. Even if she spit in your face, you do not strike back. Am I making myself clear? I said, yes, ma'am. I've always remembered that. That no matter what, I'm going to walk away. That is not an option. But we learned that from our mothers and fathers. Brothers, they need to learn that from you. Amen. Amen? Amen? Train and teach them. Again, I have two daughters, and so a lot of things I say, you know, that's the angle at which I see it. One of the things that's always in the back of my mind is, and again, I'm not perfect. If you go ask my wife, she will tell you. I try to treat my wife the way I would want the man that's going to marry my daughters to take care of my kids. That's the way I see it. Because one day, I promise you, you're going to walk those kids down the aisle. And as I give them away to this guy, and obviously, you know, yes, they're getting married to each other, but again, it's two families, as far as I'm concerned, coming together. I'm going to look at that young man in the eye and say, hey, listen, dude. That's my little girl. You're going to take care of her. If not, there's going to be trouble. Okay? Because guess what? Sarah's father, who's now passed on, said the same thing to me. He looked at me and he says, take care of my girl. I said, you can count on it. I said, I intend to. And so I'm going to say the same thing to my future son-in-law. That's just me. Okay? But the training and the teaching continues. I'm going to have to teach those young men some things. Are you with me? Because, yes, I don't have sons of my own right now, but prayerfully in the next several years, I'm going to be getting two sons. Amen? But we need to continue to train. We need to make sure that we're good examples at home. That we're modeling Jesus for them. Very, very important. Train and teach. We need to continue to do that. And finally, number two, very quickly, provide and protect. I sound like a police officer. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Continue to provide and protect. 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 8. He says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Yes, I understand the context in terms of we're talking about widows in the first century church, and Paul is making an appeal that, you know, Christians need to take care of the widows first, if their family members are Christians, so that the church would not be burdened by it. But the principle is still there, in the sense that if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, fathers, if we're not providing for our own relatives, obviously our wives and our kids, and especially for our own immediate family, the Bible says we have denied the faith and we are worse than an unbeliever. We're worse than pagans. It is our job as men to provide for our families. Which means we go out and we go get us a good job, a good paying job that we can use to provide for our kids. Food, shelter, and clothing. That is what God expects us. Those are the three basic needs. Okay? And again, I feel I have to say that because I don't want our kids to think, yeah, my father is supposed to provide for me. Hey, Dad, I need that new Xbox that's coming out next month. Uh-uh. I ain't doing no Xbox. I can only pronounce Xbox. I don't know what they look like. I don't know what they sound like. I ain't got the money to buy you an Xbox. Now, I will provide food, I will provide shelter, and I will provide clothing. Are you with me? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't buy our kids video games or whatever, but you gotta know your own kids. The fact that, you know, two guys down the road, you know, two neighbors down the road bought this for their kid doesn't mean you do the same thing. You don't know what that man does for a living. You don't know how he's making his money. If anything, he's up to here in debt. So you can't become like the Joneses. Like I've told you before, the Joneses are broke. But you still got to provide for your families. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, kids do it all the time. Dad, can I get this? No. Well, so-and-so's father got them this. And I'm like, do I look like so-and-so's father? Does Mr. So-and-so live in this house? I ain't Mr. So-and-so. I'm sorry, you're not getting that. You can't let your kids sometimes guilt you out. They've got to learn that money does not grow on trees. I still remember being told that as a kid. That money does not grow on trees. I said, it doesn't? I said, no, go outside and check. And I was dumb enough to go out and I was looking for it. But you see, yeah, we need to continue to provide, but
within your means.
Amen?
Don't let them wear you out.
I'll tell you what I used to do. I can't remember exactly what it was that my kids wanted one time. We had told them way before that, you know what, you're not going to get a phone until you start driving. So that if there's an emergency, you can call. That's it. But since they've got a phone, that's a headache. And, you know, then all these small phones started coming out. They're giving it to you for free and all this kind of stuff. And I remember one time, one of my daughters said, oh, but Dad, you know, it's even free now. You know, you don't have to pay for the phone and everything. I said, you're still not getting it. And I looked at her and I said, you know what, please don't ask me that again. Because if you do, when the time comes for you to get the phone, I'm not doing it. So please don't ask me again. And that was it. They stopped asking. And yes, when they started driving, we went out and got the phones. So I need to talk to my friend. That's what the house phone is for. As a matter of fact, yes, here, you can have my cell phone. Use my phone. But I ain't giving you no phone because, you know, your friend in middle school has got one. I'm sorry. But we need to continue to provide for our kids, but we got to be very careful that we don't mess them up. You know, I remember one time I was watching this kid by Bill Cosby. And Bill Cosby was talking about when he was a young man, he would ask his father for 5 cents, and his father would tell him his life story. How he walked uphill, downhill, in the snow, without shoes, and he was thankful. And he said, so now, you know, he sees his father and mom, the same people he used to ask money from, and they didn't give him anything. Now they come around, and they give him money to the grandkids. Hey, money for the kids, money for the kids, money for the kids. And Bill says, hey, you're looking at an old person trying to get to heaven now. That's what that is. And so he said, you know, they're giving money to his kids. He says, let me take that. That's mine. That's my money that he didn't give to me when I was younger. John 17, and we'll close out here. You know, one of the biggest things I think protections we can offer our families is not so much physical protection, but spiritual protection. Because the Bible says that our enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for somebody to devour. In John chapter 17, Jesus knows he's going back to be with God, and he prays for us. In John chapter 17, in verse 11, he says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. Talking about his disciples. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may maybe be one as we are one. And then if you jump down to verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Brothers, I want to encourage you to continue to put a prayer protection over your family, over your kids, over your descendants that you probably would not know on this side of eternity. Because Satan is relentless. Satan never gives up. He never gets tired. But one thing you and I can always do is to protect our families by our prayer lives. Amen? Amen. Very, very important. Those of us that have grown kids understand this. You know, when my kids leave the house now, and they're driving themselves, whatever. And I was told this was going to happen. Believe me, I can't go to sleep until they're back. When they leave, I'm constantly praying for them. Because there are a lot of crazy people on these roads. I don't want to be one of those parents that, you know, that gets a phone call from the police or something and saying, you know, something has happened to your daughter while driving. But that's why it's important that we continue to pray for them. You need that prayer protection. You cannot stop. You got to continue. Every single day, it's got to be there. Very, very important. Pray for your children.
Pray for your grandkids. Pray for your great-grandkids. Pray for your great-great-great-grandkids. He said, I don't know who they're going to be exactly. What God does? There's no doubt in my mind that my grandfather that I shared with you about earlier was praying for me even before I was born. Are you with me? Very, very important. God hears and sees those prayers. Again, Stephen Little is about to become a dad in a few weeks. And we're very happy for them. But I got to tell you something that happened. They came in one Wednesday morning. We always have our discipling time Wednesday morning. And they come in and they go, oh, hey, we got a name for our kid. I said, what? I said, they said Corbin. I said, what? Corbin. 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 Whatever. You know Corbin? In Matthew 15? Corbin, whatever. I don't know how you pronounce it. But that's the word. I said, what? I said, wait a minute. He said, it's in the Bible. They say, Matthew 15, this. I looked at him and I said, you are not naming that boy Corbin. I'm sorry. That's not going to happen on my watch. I don't want him growing up and say, hey, Mr. Richard, I understand my parents told you they were going to name me Corbin, and what do you do about it? I said, uh-uh. You want a Bible name? There are a lot of names in the Bible. You need to go back and do your homework. And so a few weeks later, they came back and said, Josiah. I said, now we're on this, we're talking. But one of the things I'm looking forward to is when he gets here, is holding him in my arms, I'm praying over him. I always do with all the babies. It's like, just give him to me. Go mind your own business. It's me and the Lord now. And just go spend some serious time. So I'm looking forward to doing that in the next several weeks. But I'm urging us in here as fathers and moms to continue to pray for our children. You cannot stop because Satan doesn't stop. Happy Father's Day. You guys are awesome dads. We're going to have Mr. Harris, who is the oldest father in our church, to say the closing prayer. And then after that, we will do our slideshow, and then we will be dismissed. Happy Father's Day.
We thank you. We thank you, God, today that you love us. We thank you, God, for your message. We thank you that you are our Heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally and that you will continue to love us unconditionally. You said that you would never leave us or forsake us. And we praise you for that. We pray that every father here, that we will love the children that you bless us with unconditionally. Thank you so much that you'll never leave us or forsake us. We pray that we will be the fathers that you have called us to be, that you will continue to love us and to bless us, to keep us safe from hurt, from harm, and danger. And as we leave this building today, Father God, we pray that you will bless us, protect us, and keep us safe from hurt, from harm, and danger as we continue to celebrate Father's Day, and that we will remember that while we are thanking our earthly Father that we will thank our Heavenly Father first and foremost, and that we will continue to do that each and every day. We will continue to love you as you loved us. Thank you so much, Father God. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.